We go. Hi, good morning to you all. All right, we're going to talk about anxiety and worry today. And I was telling Dick that his prayer couldn't have been more perfect for this morning because he just listed 1,000 things that we can worry about and have anxiety over. The only problem is that we really shouldn't be doing that. However, if you're anything like me, you haven't escaped all the effects of anxiety or worry. I found a joke on the web that made me laugh. It might not make you laugh, but it made me laugh. It says, "Then I heard about a poor old man, who worried so much about his debts that his hair began to fall out of his wig." Now that's some mighty powerful worry, don't you think? We're going to study, I guess our text for this morning is Matthew 6, 26 through 34, and its companion text in Luke 12, 22 through 35. So if you could go ahead and kind of get prepared to go there. Mark, Luke, so you can get to Luke. I'm not going to use Luke that much, but there are a few things that I'm going to say about Luke's interpretation or version of the same event. So just be prepared for that. We're going to find five reasons look at five reasons why you shouldn't worry, and then four solutions for worry or anxiety. So what is worry or anxiety? The Greek word for worry and anxiety is the same word, marinao. It is translated both in Matthew 6, 25 through 34 and Luke 12, 22 through 35 as worry, but that's in the 1995 version. In the 1977 version of NASB, is translated as anxiety. So obviously the two words are synonymous. They mean the same thing as far as the Greek is concerned. And for our purposes this morning, generally, and also in Philippians 4, 6, it's translated, the same word is translated as anxiety in the new NASB Bible that I use. Generally, the word means to have anxiety or worry based upon perceived or real impending misfortune. Are you okay? Tim? Oh, yeah. You worry me, man. I'm having an anxiety attack right here. Sorry, Lord. Yeah, did I? Oh, gosh. Being anxious and worried takes you away from God's grace, away from His mercy and help. It's just what happens. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be serious or shouldn't worry, or not worry, but be serious and think properly about the things that affect our lives. There's tons of stuff that we need to consider. God doesn't want us to not do anything. We just don't sit back and He does stuff. We get moving, and He blesses us through our action and our faith in Him. So we need to consider our life options that affect us, things like where we need to live, where we need to go to school, who we're going to marry, what career we're going to pursue, should we have children, and when they come, what are we going to do? These are all things we need to think about and prayerfully consider with our Lord, but they're not things that we should worry about. To have any anxiety or worry about any of these things will bring us real spiritual harm, and it is not how God would have us spend His time. So what are some of the effects of worry and anxiety? You should all know this, because there isn't one of you in here that hasn't been worried or anxious at some point in their life.
There's a whole bunch of health issues, all sorts of things. Somebody wants to read a book called, by S.I. McMillan, called None of These Diseases. He's got a whole couple chapters on the physical and emotional effects of worry. He's a Christian author.
This is McMillan?
S.I. McMillan.
Well, that's exactly what we want to talk about. right there. There are all kinds of things happen. The first thing that happens in my life is I complicate the issue. As soon as I get anxious or worried, the issues get big. They get huge, humongous. They're bigger than me. They tend to be even worse when there's little information, because our minds, the way we're made, we tend to make stuff up, right? So instead of it being something simple, it's something major, like I'm going to die in the next 5 minutes. So it is what we do. Worry also makes us so crazy that we can't see a way to solve the problem. It immediately puts us in a state that we're going to talk about in a second. We become so captive to the process that we don't seek God's help. And that's really what happens when we start to worry. Worry also can damage your health, just like our good brother Fred just said a few seconds ago. It can do all kinds of things to us. What really happens in your body, since I did manage a lot of laboratories over my, and I know a lot about this subject. I could just talk to you about this, but I'm not going to. I wouldn't bore you to death with it. But basically what happens is when the moment you start to be anxious, the moment you start to worry, your body goes into fight or flight. You get an immediate surge of adrenaline. That adrenaline takes over your whole body. It can make you dizzy. It can actually shrink your eyesight down to one of these and maybe even blind. Now, a long time ago, I used to be petrified of standing up in front of somebody and talking. Well, I would do that, and as soon as I got right about the hair and I'd look out at you, all of a sudden I couldn't see anything. Quite literally, I erased everybody in the room. That helped me cope, by the way. So it was okay, but it was not good for my health. So say it again.
How'd you read your notes?
Mostly I didn't. I would memorize everything. I'd memorize it all because I knew I wasn't going to be able to concentrate on the words in front of me. But I'm calmer nowadays, so it's okay. But in the fight or flight response, adrenaline happens and it produces makes a hormone called cortisol just build in your body. Well, that brings higher sugar levels. It also brings more triglycerides to your blood. And those were all used in the old days to fight or flight. You're either going to run or you're going to fight. Well, we kind of do that when we're anxious and worried. We kind of want to fight or flight, but we're not really going to do it. So it's just going to sit in your body and just hurt you. Dizziness, fatigue, headaches, blurred vision, rapid heart rate. Good, great. Yeah, hair falling out. I'm not a chronic worrier, really. Maybe I am. Serious physical consequences include, and this is the bad part here. I have suffered from some of these. Suppression of the immune system. You start worrying, you're a chronic worrier, you're going to be sicker than the average dude out there, or dudette. You're just not going to do well. Digestive disorders, you can't digest your food, you got gas, you got all kinds of problems. Muscle tension, short-term memory loss. Hello. That is a big one for me, as I can't even remember what I just said half the time. Premature coronary artery disease. That could be something very long-term. Some of us know about that. Heart attack, some of us know about that. And high blood pressure. I know about that one, because that was the reason why in 2012, at 65 years old, I quit. I retired because my blood pressure was out of control. I was not under control in any way, shape, or form. And yet, over 3 months, through prayer, study, and just doing nothing but work, and not anything but thinking or worrying, I got good enough to where when they called me back, like, hey, please come back. Okay, so I went back. And that next 3 years was the best 3 years of all my work experience because of this issue right here. And it took, look, I was saved in 1984. So, you know, I haven't had this under control, and I still don't have it under control. I feel a lot like Paul when he's talking about his relationship and knowing Christ. He says, I know a lot, but man, I just keep efforting and struggling at this. I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect. But it's something anxiety and dealing with it is something we need to take care of. So literally, you can worry yourself to death. It's perfectly possible. Lastly, however, and the most important effect of anxiety and worry is that it is an affront to our God. It separates us from God and cuts us off from all His promises that He gives us to help us in our need. It just does. Let me tell you a quick story. This is a long time ago, but I was managing an esoteric lab, a biochemical genetics laboratory at Children's Hospital, Los Angeles. And we did very well. In fact, we were a very successful laboratory. I came in one morning, and it was 6 o'clock, and the phone was ringing. I went, uh-oh. I went over there, and it was back east. So they're up, and they've been up and stewing on this for a while. They started in on me right there on the phone, and I'm telling you what, my whole body just changed in an instant. I could hardly hear this person speaking to me. They were so upset and so angry. And I'm thinking all these things. I'm hardly listening because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to lose this huge customer. Oh man, I'm going to lose my license. The lab's going to lose their license. This could be the end of us all. I mean, give me a break, but this is where I went. And then I had to actually calm down and I say, okay, say that again. Now let me write it down. And that allowed me to actually hear her for the first time. So I went through this whole thing, and I'm telling you, I went from the front of the room to from the telephone to the computer to the archives, back to the lab, talking to my employees, back up to the computer, back over to the archives. I mean, I worked hard, and I made several phone calls. And the whole time, I was just nuts. 3 o'clock, it all changes like this. It stops. Oh, we love you. Everything is just fine. Thank you for working so hard to solve this problem. We are so glad that you're a lab that we can do business with. It is really fine. We love you very much. Thank you for doing the work you do. Goodbye. She hangs up, I hang up. And then I realize something. I messed up big time. I went through that whole morning from 6 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon without God at all. I never asked once. I never prayed once. I never looked to Him to help me through this process. I decided I could do it all on my own, and if I need help, I'll call. And that's the point of view that people take when we worry. We can handle it. We'll deal with it. Well, I realized this in an instant, and I just was awestruck that even though I wasn't there, God was always there. I went into my room, I closed the door, and I started to weep and pray and ask for forgiveness. And I realized that I missed a big opportunity to faith. Huge! Because He directed me. I mean, that's, 6-8 hours? He directed me through the whole thing. And as I'm sitting down there calm and praying, I could start to see the blessings I missed going through the problem. Bad thing. Let's pray real quick and then we'll get started. Lord, You're indeed an awesome and mighty God, and we give You thanks and we give You praise and honor. You are everything to us, and I know that You care about us and that You want the best for us if we would only just keep coming to You, if we would only just seek You. Lord, I just pray that You would give me the right words to say and that You would be with me in particular and with this group. As usual, Lord, I ask You to put Your hands on my shoulders and keep me calm through this process. You're indeed an awesome and mighty God, and we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the cure for anxiety. We are definitely sold that we should never be satisfied, yes? Ads, TV ads, all the other ads that we have. We should never be satisfied, and that in itself will create anxiety because we think we need to go get something when we really don't need to. Matthew 6:25 through 34. So if you were there, you will notice that the very first words Jesus used, because He is talking about the kingdom, one of His favorite topics, 9 parables, I think it is, in Matthew, all about the kingdom, about seeking, about being there, about how you're going to get there and you're not going to get there, and then if you do this and this and this and this. Very interesting. But in this one, we start out, he says, for this reason. So you got to ask yourself, for what reason? What are you talking about? So go up to 19, verse 19. I'll quickly read this for you and then we'll talk about it. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's verse 19 through 21. First thing, right out of the gate, from verses 1 through 8, through 18, Jesus is telling us not to seek earthly acclaim, not to seek earthly power, not to seek all these things. Don't be a big shot in your own mind, so to speak. And now he gets down, he says, okay, from 19 to 34, he's going to tell us, well, you need to not seek material things. You need to not be greedy. You need to have a proper perspective on life. And the first thing he says in this first verse, set of verses, is there's a dichotomy out there. You can go here to the kingdom or you can go here to the earth. Here you have God, here you don't. Here you have God and everything you do for him in the proper respect and with the proper motivation accounts for treasure. And it will build up for you in heaven, and it will not be destroyed. It is there for you. And yet you can go over here to the earth, and you can be consumed by having the right house, by having the right job, having the right wife, the right kids, the right everything. You can spend your life in anxiety and worry about not having it, because everyone I know that is rich thinks they need to get richer. So anxiety doesn't ever go away, and it pushes you to being one of two things. It either drives you to the Lord or it drives you away. So that's the first set of verses. The next set here says, verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So what is the eye? The eye is the window of the soul. Everything goes in. And even if he's not talking about the eye, he's talking about your heart, which is connected to your eye. Everything goes through there. So you have a choice when you're of what you look at, what you read, what you do with your eyes is very important, because it feeds either light or it feeds darkness. And if it feeds darkness, how deep is that darkness? If you're unsaved, that's an easy thing. You're not going to get saved until that changes. And if you're saved, you're disconnected. So again, he's pointing you back to the kingdom. Use your eyes to do this. So let's look at two verses. How do I do this, Roger? Just hit the button?
Yep. The one to the right.
The one to the right.
Or the other thing, Bill, is you just go.
Oh, there.
You can do it, or if you want, I can run this for you.
Well, I think I'd rather do it because it's good for me to learn.
Okay.
That way, next time I do this, I won't be anxious or worried.
You should not be anyway.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm perfectly calm. I'm sorry, Lord. Ephesians 2:1-2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Is this not our condition before we were saved? This is where everybody is. And this is our choice after being saved of where we're going to spend our time. What light are you going to put in your body, here or there? Romans 12:2. This is the other side of that coin. Is do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That goes in through the eyes. When we read, when we renew our mind, there's only a couple of ways you can renew your mind, and you can renew it with good stuff, with obedience and with spiritual things, or you can renew it with bad stuff, half the stuff on TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's all kinds of things. Your mind is constantly being renewed. So what are you going to do? You're going to have to renew your mind and be transformed. Let's look at the last verse here, verse 24. You can have only one master, God or wealth. And that is literally so. You can't concentrate on both at the same time. Yes, I'm a worldly Christian. Well, what is that? I don't think it means much. I'm a worldly Christian. I've had people say that to me. I said, well, what does that mean? I said, well, I live in the world and I'm a Christian. I go, okay. All right. Jesus is warning us in these verses about the object of our attention. It's either him or things. He also it also demonstrates that we can be cut off from God's love and help if our that we can be cut off by God's love and that we need to focus on the kingdom. So after the words, for this reason, back to 25 now, Jesus passionately addresses the concerns of life that needlessly lead to worry and anxiety. They are basic needs, the concerns of the of daily existence, life and body, which he gives us as a free gift. That's the major gift he gives us. You're born with life and a body. But then he provides food, drink, clothing. And Jesus goes on to list all the reasons why we worry and why we should not worry. Matthew, let's start. Matthew 25. For this reason, we just talked about that, I say to you, do not be worried. More about this in a little bit. In the NIV version, it says, don't be worried. I think it's pretty clear. And I'll be talking a little bit down there when we get to solutions. Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. It is not life more than food and body and the body more than clothing. So the first reason not to worry is it shows that we have an improper perspective on life. Life is more than just food, and it is more than just clothing. It's a whole lot more. God knows that you do need these things for life and body, and will provide them for you. In verse 32, we'll look at the verse that says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And in other verses, as we work down, he'll actually tell us he'll provide those things. So you must know that. Don't worry. You have the proper perspective of life. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air and that they do not sow or reap nor gather of barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? That's an important thing to know. God looks at you as the most important thing, that he wants to help you. He wants your undivided attention, however, but he does want to provide the things that you need. 28, verse 28, we'll skip 27. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed themselves like one of these. So the second reason is worry is unnecessary. It's completely unnecessary. You don't need to worry. If you've got a God that's got your back and you're tied in with him, you don't need to worry. Look at the birds, demonstrated by the birds, and it's demonstrated by the lilies of the field. He provides them with feed, and you're more important than they are. So what are you worried about? He's going to take care of you. He will supply your food and clothing and all your needs, actually. Verse 27. And who of you, by being, this is a good one. Who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? Think about that one. How many times have we said, oh, I'm going to die. Oh, I am sick. I don't know when it's going to happen. And we all go through this stuff. Some of us have to go through it even more than others because we really are sick. We really do have issues. And we worry about how long are we going to live. And all that worry and all that anxiety doesn't add 1 second, 1 day to your life. Luke adds in 12:26, you want to, if you've got it marked, you can see it real quick. Basically, I'll just read it to you. If you can't do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? See, you can't change what's going on. Worrying about stuff in the future is absolutely useless. You can't do it. Worrying about stuff in the past is past. You might as well let it go. So the third reason is it's pointless. Just like you can't add a single hour to your life, worry by itself will not get you food, clothing, or any of the things that spend or that you worry about, you spend your time worrying about. So stop worrying. You know what? It's actually possible to learn how to worry. I perfected that pretty well in my younger years. I actually believe that if I worried about something that was coming up enough, then I would get the good result. Now, this is pretty silly, but I actually perfected this deal. I would go to the doctor worried, oh, they're going to find this, they're going to find that. And when they didn't, oh, see, everything's fine. I'd worry about a speech I was going to do. I'd worry about anything. It didn't matter. What I'd worry and effort and struggle because I knew that if I worried and efforted and struggled, I would be fine. It would all turn out good because it always did. What foolishness. I mean, think about it. Talk about not tying into the Lord or even wanting to. Worry. Just lost my place. Here we go. I will worry about it. You notice I'm not worried about it. Verse 30. But I've got, you know what? Just a second. Fred just walked out. And I'm a little concerned that he reacted to my conversation about being ill. Because I know his wife is...
No, he
had to go do something? See? Anxiety and worry. I'm just getting ready to repent and all this stuff. You guys miss out. Sorry. Okay.
No, but I think you bring up a good point. Yeah. We have to be sensitive to people going through hard things. It's not that they're worrying and they're not going to call them out and say, you know, you're in sin because you're worrying about it.
No. No, that's exactly right. That is not our response.
Yeah.
It isn't. Our response should be, you know, just... go to God for solace. Go to him for comfort. And that's where your comfort's going to come from. It's not going to come from me saying, well, you just shouldn't worry. It's a sin for you to worry. What are you worried about? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Very good. I like that. Okay, verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, he will not much more clothe you. And then he adds, you of little faith. Jesus is not going to tell us not to worry as if we can't do it. If we couldn't do it, he wouldn't have told us not to worry. He knows that you don't need to. Was it 1 Corinthians 10:13? No temptation has been given to you that such is different from man. We can handle it. Through Christ, we can handle anything. So the fourth is that it demonstrates a lack of faith. You haven't put your trust in God. You can't trust without faith, yet trust is part and parcel of faith. They go together. You need faith to trust. Faith starts at the moment of conversion. We are given some faith, and that faith can build trust as we watch God work in our lives if we're tied into it. Very important part of my beginning as a Christian was seeing God correct me all the time. It was a odd experience. All these things I believed were baloney, and I was starting to see them one at a time. So it is faith is needed. Faith builds trust. And let's look at our next verses here. Hebrews 11:1, we know what faith is. It's the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. So we need to have faith. And that will build trust. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Your path won't be straight without trusting in God. Jeremiah 17:7-8. You know, Jeremiah 17:9 is next after this, where we're deceitful and wicked, and who can know us? We're so bad. But the front part is, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted in the water that extends its roots down the stream, and it will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Being connected with God, trusting in God, makes you fearless. You know He's going to take care of you. And when bad things come through our life, it doesn't change the bad things. We still get to go through stuff. It's not like everything's going to change because I'm connected, but everything's going to change and how I perceive it is going to be connected. And this is important to understand. If we're tied into water and our faith grows and our trust grows, we're just like this tree that is by the stream. Our roots go deep. And they get the groundwater and they suck that water up. And even if it's hot or bad weather, the tree's fine. They still get to be in hot weather, however. They still get to be in all those bad things, but they're not affected by it like we would have if we weren't connected. Verse 31, do not worry. Here's their second do not worry. Then saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for our Heavenly Father knows that we need all these things. So our fifth reason not to worry about what we'll eat or drink or wear is because the unbelievers worry about the same thing. It is not a good testimony. We are not different from them when we do all the things that they're doing. They're efforting and struggle at all these things, and they see us doing the same thing. There's no difference. Two really good verses on that. Matthew 5:14-16. Jesus talking about the destined for those destined for the kingdom. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does another light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. We're talking about believers and how we should be living. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Being connected to the Lord, obeying this one bit of scripture right here, will make you different to people around you. They will notice a changed life. They can't help themselves because you're not dealing with this. You've got it handled. And you've got to handle it because God is handling it for you. You're still going through the miseries, but you know what? So what? You get to go through stuff. Not, I'm going through stuff, oh my gosh. No, you get to go through it. My phone call was a prime example of, I get to go through this one way or the other, so how do you want to go through it? All right? So have your life be a light. If your life is a light, people will notice, and it may actually bring a question to you about, why are you so, what is it about you that's so different? We can walk through that door with the gospel of Christ, can't we? But if we're the same, they'll not notice, nor will they care to even wonder about it, what we do or don't do. So that's the five things. The solutions are in 25, 31, and 34. He says it three times, do not be worried. The NIV says, do not worry. In 31, it's do not worry. And in 34, it says, so do not worry. And Luke adds in 12:32, do not be afraid. So he has a slightly different word he's using there, but it's all the same word. So our first solution is in the statement, do not worry. So let's pick up our conversation we had earlier about this word, maranao. Maranao. The word does mean to have anxiety about real or not real things. It does mean that. It is the same word for worry and anxiety. And it is what in the Greek language is called an imperative verb. Imperative means it's a command. It means it's unavoidable. And we are not to do it. Jesus uses the word of worry and anxiety to express his feeling or passion about this subject. It is definitely not to be done. He makes it abundantly clear by telling us three times in these 10 verses. In 10 verses, he tells you three times, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. And there's actually another one that says, why are you worrying about? So maybe you could even count it as four. The most common term, in the 10 verse, so don't worry, obey Jesus' directive, i.e., it is a sin to worry or feel anxiety over anything. Now, I want to be a little clear about what I just said, because you're not going to avoid anxiety or worry. It's going to hit you at any moment. One thing happened that's not in your life that you feel it's a surprise. It could be fear. I can guarantee you if somebody pulled out a weapon and pointed it at you, you'd be in anxiety and worry real quick. So you can't avoid that condition or that situation. That clock, I just had another moment of anxiety.
Yes, it's right. We're supposed to be done in like 2 minutes.
Okay. That's what I was afraid of when we didn't stop. Okay, I'm going to go through this very quickly because we had 2 minutes. That irritates me. I am now anxious and worried. Sure. I can always do that. Huh? Yes. Yes, yes, go ahead. That's right.
Okay. So now, when we continually pray, we pray fervently and what have you, how do you not, I mean, you pray about the same things more than once, but mm-hmm. Is that taking it back? I mean, I get you.
No, I don't think so. Maybe it means that you did take it back and you felt the need to pray again. Maybe that's what it means. But certainly that is the human condition again. Look, we're all still sinners, yes?
Yeah,
we are.
I'm praying for the salvation of my,
yes,
of my voice.
That's right.
I'm continually,
yes.
That, is that taking it back?
No, Paul prayed tons of times. Yeah, Roger.
I would say, too, I wonder if we even think about this and talk about it. The difference between being concerned about something and worrying about cast our anxiety. We are concerned about things. Jesus was concerned about things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, he trusted the Lord. He prayed about that. Like, he was concerned about going to the cross.
Yes. Saying, sweat, blood.
So, like, he was emotionally involved in that. So I wonder, what is the difference between concern and worry, and where does that become sin? And I think, you know, I just think about, you know, when things are on my heart, whether I'm worried or whatever it is, the right thing to do is to always be going back to the Lord on it.
That's right. You have to do that. It is exactly what will happen in your own body. Look, it's a temptation like everything else. You're going to worry, to finish my thought on this. You're going to worry. You're going to have anxiety. It's going to hit you. The thing is, well, what do you do about it? You train yourself, and this is something I had to do. I'm telling you, I used to drive to Delano at the regional hospital 50 miles an hour. People pass me at work and laugh. Oh, you drive so slow. I was praying all the way in. I needed to. If I didn't get my prayer in, and that took me 30 miles at 50 miles an hour, when I got there, I was still nervous.
And then you act bad.
Yeah.
I think what it is, Bobby, when you're worried, your actions aren't the right things later.
That's right.
Especially, I totally know what you mean about work.
Yep.
Because I can feel the anger, the rage, the anxiety at work because
yep.
of the environment. And if I'm not, like you say, my thing is, I just put my headphones in and start listening to the Bible. Yes. And then I'm good. Like, I'm fine. It goes down. But it's not like, I mean, what else do you do? It's a horrible, sometimes you're in a horrible situation.
Yeah, you just got to keep doing it. For me, it was getting to the point to where I just forced myself to pray. The moment I felt anxiety, I'd stop and give a prayer just to center myself, because I needed to get connected to the Lord. So it's a temptation. It's not a sin to have anxiety. You're going to have it. You're not going to avoid it. However, what are you going to do about it? You know, do you go 8 hours and not do anything and then sit there and repent over your missing the blessing? I mean, give me a break. So anyway, Raj, let me just go over the last solutions and I'll finish this at another date. Do not sin. Obvious, right? It's the first one we were just talking about. Know that your Heavenly Father cares for you. Verse 32. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And do not be afraid. Those are the things right out of the text. And next time we get together, we'll talk more about the solutions then. So I'm sorry it took too long. I actually had... Let's see. You want to deal with this?
Yeah.
I actually had a bunch of stuff I cut.